Well, good morning again. I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 17. A couple of things before we dive in today. This is going to be our last Sunday in the book of John until September. And so we might fly back in and drop back in, but as far as our verse-by-verse preaching through the book of John, we're going to pause on that after this Sunday, until about mid-September. And so excited about that, excited about what's coming. Next two Sundays, next Sunday and the Sunday after, the 7th and the 14th, I'm going to do a two-part sermon series. And I was thinking about it this morning. It may be some of the most controversial things I've preached on in a while. So come on. It'll be fun. All right. And then we're going to enter into our summer in the Psalms. And before you know it, it'll be September. So we'll dive back into the book of John in September, and we're going to finish sometime around Thanksgiving, 1st of December in the book of John, and then we'll see. We'll see if we're still here and where we go from there. Sound good? All right. John 17, let's finish this. Verses 20 through 26, I want to read it one more time for us in its entirety. Again, this is Jesus praying on his way to the cross. He's in the garden. He says, I do not ask for these only. And what's interesting about this in verse 20, he has prayed for himself. He has prayed for his disciples whom gave their lives to follow him for 3 years. And now he's praying for all of those who will believe. He says, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. And so Jesus prays for unity. And we talked about a few weeks ago how unity is evangelistic. The world's going to believe because of the unity of the church. Verse 22, the glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and you in me. Jesus prayed that the glory would be revealed in the church, that we would reflect the glory of God, the greatness of God as the church, and that that would be evangelistic, that because of the difference in us, the change in us, right, people would believe, people would see Christ in us. And then he says, I in them and you in me, in verse 23, that they may become perfectly one so that the world may know you, that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. The identity, Jesus prays that the identity of the believer would be a union with God. A union with God. That we would live from that, and that we would know the love of that we would know the love of God. And then today, verses 24 through 26, Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. That the love which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. So today, we're talking about a sacrificial love, that Jesus' prayer for all of those who will believe is sacrificial love, the pursuit of sacrificial love. See, Jesus doesn't merely save his people from judgment, he draws them into the very love of God. That's powerful. That Jesus draws people into the very love of the Father. And so this life that we're seeking to live as Christians, as the church, is the lifelong pursuit of receiving. It's the lifelong pursuit of reflecting. I promise I can talk this morning. And reproducing the sacrificial love of Jesus. And so Jesus is praying that we would reflect the sacrificial love of Jesus to the world. Right? And so this passage is not simply a sentimental language about love. It's a sacrificial love forged in eternity and demonstrated at the cross. Right? Demonstrated at the cross. And so, 4 points and 4 takeaways this morning. Sound good? All right, thank you. Number one, sacrificial love begins in the heart of the Father. That's important. Sacrificial love begins in the heart of the Father. It does not begin in your coffee cup, right? but first coffee, right? It doesn't begin anywhere else but in the heart of the Father. Father, I desire also that they whom you have given me, notice that the tenderness of Jesus, right? I desire that they also whom you have given me, right? This is not cold theology. This is affection, right? Whom you have given me. Jesus is not reluctantly receiving believers. He desires them. The Son speaks to the Father about his people with covenant affection. And then he says something staggering. You loved me before the foundation of the world, before creation, before Adam, before sin, before the stars burned in the heavens. There was love. Before any of that, there was love. The universe was born out of the overflow of a divine love between Father and Son. That means that God didn't create because he was lonely. That's powerful. He was already perfectly satisfied with the fellowship of the love that he had in the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Creation was not God filling a deficiency. It was God extending his glory. And now Jesus says that we as believers are being brought into that eternal love. Now, I don't know about you, but that should humble us. Because we tend to think that Christianity is mainly about avoiding a certain destination. We think that Christianity is about avoiding some type of persecution, right? But Jesus speaks about salvation as an entrance into divine fellowship. Not merely rescued, but welcomed. Not merely forgiven, but loved. And the phrase, whom you have given me, appears repeatedly in John 17 because believers are the Father's gift to the Son. Have you ever thought about that of yourself? Right? I am God's gift to Jesus. That's powerful. You, as a believer, are God's gift to Jesus, whom you have given me. I'll confess, I don't always act like a gift. I'm sure you do. I don't, right? But the cross was not a plan B. Redemption was the eternal purpose of God. I think about it this way. When I think about sacrificial love beginning in the heart of the Father, I was sitting around recently listening to some folks talk about marriage, and I was specifically kind of conflict in marriage, right? Which is an interesting thing, right? I've never really experienced conflict in my marriage. We just celebrated 20 years on Wednesday, which is pretty cool. Bless her heart for dealing with this. But when I think about conflict in marriage and how to avoid conflict, how to work through conflict, I think of what the writer of Scripture says. I think it's Hebrews when it says, outdo one another in showing honor. Right? Outdo one another in showing honor. And so you don't have to play this out in marriage conflict. You could play this out in any conflict. Because if my approach as a believer in Christ Jesus is any person that I'm coming in contact with where there's potential conflict or what have you, spouse, kids, other drivers, right? Like if any potential, if my approach to them is to outdo them in showing honor, I'm going to be okay. We're going to be okay, right? My marriage is going to be okay if I seek to outdo Kristen in showing honor to her, right? Our marriage is going to be awesome, right? Because what does that mean? It means for me to outdo the other person in showing honor, I need the grace of Christ. Because that's not my natural bend. Because in the grace of Christ, I can find humility. Read Philippians chapter 2. We might get there at the end of this message. Not quite sure yet. Right? But it begins in the heart of the Father. outdoing one another and showing honor, outdoing one another in kind of competing. I'm a competitor, right? In showing honor, it begins in the heart of the Father because it begins in humility. And so if you're in conflict with anyone, if you're struggling with something in anyone, maybe the approach should be, hey, let me press into the Father and try to outdo this person in showing honor and see what happens. Number two, sacrificial love desires presence. We've already kind of hit this, but Jesus prays that they may be with me where I am. It's pretty powerful. Jesus doesn't say, he could say, Father, make them successful. He doesn't say, Father, make them comfortable. He doesn't say, Father, make them admired. Jesus prays, Father, I want them with me. I want them with me. All of those who are going to believe, I want them with me. What does that mean for us this morning? I want you to hear this loud and clear. The deepest longing of Jesus is communion with his people. Like I want you to think about what we're doing right now. We're communing together. Right? We're communing together in the presence of God. We believe at Summit that we're, because Scripture says it, where two or three are gathered in his name, he is in their midst. Right? And so as we are gathering together, that's why I love Sunday mornings, as we are gathering together in the presence of God, worshiping the Father, singing songs about how we were made for more and his grace is enough, and celebrating each other and each other's accomplishments, and opening the Word of God and devoting ourselves to the public reading of Scripture, as we're gathering together, we're answering the prayer of Christ that we could be with him. That his deepest desire was communion with his believers, with his people, with his children. That's astonishing when you remember who we are. I mean, look around. Look inward. We're inconsistent. We're distracted. Some of you are probably making a grocery list right now. Some of you are probably passing notes about what you want for lunch. Some of you are probably, I don't know. What do you want to do this afternoon? We're fearful. As the old hymn says, we're prone to wonder. Yet in all of that, Jesus still says, I want them near me. Not just near me, I want them with me. That's powerful. The gospel that we preach about, the gospel that we sing about, the gospel that we put our trust in here is not merely about escaping wrath. It's about being brought near. Heaven is heaven. Guess what? Because Jesus is there. Heaven is heaven because Jesus is there. If Jesus was absent, heaven would be empty no matter how golden the streets are. See, many believers treat Jesus as a helper instead of a treasure. We want his blessings. We want his protection. We want his answers. We want his provision. But the question that I have for you this morning is, do we want him? Do we want him? The evidence of spiritual maturity, I was thinking about this recently, the evidence of spiritual maturity is not merely biblical knowledge or sounding smart or having the right vocabulary. It is a growing affection for Jesus himself. It's a growing affection for Jesus himself. See, a healthy Christian eventually stops saying, what can Jesus give me? What can Jesus give me? And they start saying, give me Jesus. Just give me Jesus. Just give me the presence of Jesus. Number three, sacrificial love was revealed most clearly at the cross. That makes sense, doesn't it? A righteous Father, Jesus says, I made known to them your name. Right? How did Jesus reveal the Father? Well, all throughout Scripture, he's pointing, all throughout the Gospels, he's pointing them to the Father, but ultimately through the cross. See, the cross is not merely where God displayed power, it's where he displayed love. And the world defines love sentimentally. Affirm me, please me, do me a favor, buy me a Macy's gift card, make me happy, never oppose me. Right? But biblical love is different. Biblical love sacrifices itself for the good of another. loving until it hurts. See, Jesus didn't merely feel love, he demonstrated it. When you think about the love that Jesus demonstrated, love bled, love suffered, love carried a cross beam, love wore thorns, love stretched out his hands for enemies. Romans says that God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The cross destroys all shallow definitions of love, doesn't it? That's powerful. That's powerful. Sacrificial love was revealed most clearly at the cross. Let me ask you something. When's the last time that you loved sacrificially? That you loved someone till it hurt? That you loved someone so much that it cost you? That there was a sacrifice involved? That you laid something down? That you put your comfort aside and you did something for the other person? Not because you wanted to. Not because you wanted to. Not because you felt like it. Not because you had time to. Not because you had the extra money that week. But because you loved them. Because you loved them. And it was the only reasonable sacrifice. It was the only reasonable thing to do. Number four, sacrificial love must be experienced before it can be extended. Whew. That's good. You can't extend sacrificial love until you've experienced it. The love, Jesus says, the love with which you have loved me may be in them. This is crucial. Jesus is not merely commanding an invitation, right? He's describing this impartation, that they're going to experience this, and then they're going to go and extend it to other people, right? Christian love is not a self-manufactured morality where we just try harder or do better, right? You can't grit your teeth into Christ-like love. It doesn't work that way. Right? You can't produce supernatural love through a personality improvement. The love of God must first be in us. That changes ministry. It changes marriage. It changes parenting. It changes church life. Right? That I'm gonna love you till it hurts. See, I believe many Christians who are trying to do this are exhausted because they're trying to give people a love that they themselves are not deeply receiving from Jesus. We're trying to love in a way that we're not receiving. And so eventually you give out, you give out, you give out, you got nothing left to give. And we're trying to love from a place where you can't pour living water from an empty cup. Right? You just can't, you can't do it. You can't do it. I've said this a lot over the last few weeks, especially when we're preaching through John 15. A branch does not strain to produce fruit. It just sits there on the vine. It abides in the vine. It's a natural thing, right? The loveless Christian is often a prayerless Christian. It's one that's not in the Word. It's one that's distracted when they come to church. It's frustrated. They're putting a hard conversation aside, and all of that is boiling up and just produces dryness. Because see, when communion with Jesus weakens, love for people eventually becomes artificial. It becomes thin. It becomes impatient. It becomes transactional. And the prayer of Jesus is that this sacrificial love is something that would become visible in ordinary life. Right? Because sacrificial love is beautiful in theology, but difficult in traffic. Sacrificial love is beautiful in theology, but difficult in church disagreement. Sacrificial love is beautiful in theology, but difficult in exhaustion or marriage. And so what does this look like practically? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's talk about how to love sacrificially practically. Sound good? You guys with me? Number one, sacrificial love chooses presence. It chooses presence. It chooses presence. I just want to be with you. Jesus says, I want them with me, where I am. Real love is present. In an age of distraction, attention is sacrifice. We're going to talk about this in the next couple of weeks. Attention is sacrifice. Putting the phone down is sacrificial love. Listening carefully, and not just listening so that you're ready to say something in return, is sacrificial love. Staying when it would be easier to leave is sacrificial love. See, people spell love T-I-M-E. Time. Why? Because I think if a lot of us are honest with ourselves today, the biggest sacrifice that we were to make for sacrificial love would be time. Would be time. Would be time. Sacrificial love chooses presence. Chooses presence. I want you to think about the person, the people that you love right now. That is the cutest thing I've heard in a while. I want you to think about the people that you love right now, right? Just man, like, oftentimes, like, here's the thing. When I think about what I want to eat, right? Like, I really don't care. But my dream meal is where Kristen and my four kids are. That's where my dream meal is. Like, preferably where the cell phone won't work, so that we can just put it down, like, and just sit and talk, right? Like, hanging out. Like, it just, that's where my dream meal is, you know? Like, I want to be with them. I want them to be with me, because I want them to realize and remember I'm the coolest person in their life. Like it or not, right? Like, when I think about what do I want to do, I don't really care. I just want to do it with them, right? And I think about that in relation to, if I, an earthly father, feel that way, how much more does our perfect heavenly father who went to the cross on our behalf feel that way? He just wants us in his presence. He just wants us in his presence. And so if we're going to exemplify sacrificial love, it means we choose presence. We choose tables. We choose circles. We choose conversations. We choose gathering around people. As uncomfortable as it may be, as hard as it may be, as inconvenient as it may be, we choose that. Number two, sacrificial love absorbs cost. Absorbs cost. What does that mean? Well, let's talk about it. And hear me all the way to the end on this one. I don't want you to get the wrong impression here. Jesus went to the cross, right? Like, we know that, right? He absorbed the cost of the cross, right? Love, and here's the point with this. Love that costs nothing means little, right? Love that costs nothing means little. See, parents understand this. Caregivers understand this. As I work with folks affected by disability, right? Caregivers understand this. You know, my mom, who has cared for my brother for 50 years, right? When she wakes up in the morning, it doesn't matter how she feels that day about whether or not she gets my brother out of bed, right? Like, she doesn't get a day off from that, right? Love is getting him out of bed. At almost 80 years, I shouldn't have said that. At her age, okay, and that's love, right? Caregivers understand that. Love that costs nothing means little. And when I think about the 50 years of her life, right, of caring for my brother with a disability, right, when I think about the things that she has given up, her dream car, women's retreats, vacations, right? Thinking about meals, right? Every time we think about going to a place to eat, we've got to think, is there space for a wheelchair? Right? Like it's, and those are things, like I'm not saying that those things, right, are burdens. I'm just saying that's love. Right? You don't have a choice. And so people understand this. Faithful spouses understand this, right? Love is knowing the ugliest parts of someone and staying. Sacrificial love says, I will inconvenience myself for your good. And I think that's one of the truths around Christian love that we've forgotten. When is the last time that you inconvenienced yourself for anyone? Well, I'm sitting here listening to you, aren't I, Pastor? Fair. Fair. But when's the, like think about it, right? Inconveniencing ourselves for the sake of the gospel. Inconveniencing our preferences for the sake of others knowing Christ. Forgive me. I know some people are like, man, you got to let this go. I just can't let the move of God go, right? Like I think back to 2017 when a little church full of seasoned saints came and said, we want to merge. And I think back to those days, and I'm like, and one of the biggest questions I would ask back then, why would you want to merge with us? Nicely's, Carlson's, why would you want to merge with us? Bartlett's, like what? And they were like, we just want young people. And I just can't help, as I was driving around this morning headed here today, I was just thinking, man, a day like this must bless you seeing 16 graduates. I don't know that that happens at South Gorham. I don't know that that happens. I'll be honest. I don't know that that happens at South Coast if we don't come together and see that we're better together, right? But think about the sacrifices that you made to see these young people pursuing and following God. That's love. Putting preferences of a grand piano that would have consumed this entire stage. Come on now, if you were there 8 years ago, you know. Aside. Putting preferences of hymns in every seat aside. Putting preferences of stained glass and not worshiping in a gym and having pews aside. Putting all of those things. And we're going to celebrate tonight something even deeper than that. I can't wait at 6:30 at the family meeting. How's that for a teaser to get here? Right? But you put all of those things aside because you inconvenience yourself for the good of the gospel. Because you inconvenience yourself for the good of the gospel. And so what am I saying there? If we walk and live in sacrificial love, testimony is bound to happen. You see the power of God. You see the power of God. When you inconvenience yourself for the sake of the gospel, not so that you can add it to the list of things that you've inconvenienced yourself, because I know some of those people, come on now, right? But sacrificial love says, I will inconvenience myself for your good. I will inconvenience myself for your good. That may mean forgiving instead of retaliating. It may mean serving when unnoticed, giving generously, staying faithful when emotions fluctuate. Number three, sacrificial love speaks truth. Talked about that a few weeks ago, speaking the truth in love. Sacrificial love speaks truth. Jesus revealed the Father truthfully. See, modern culture, today's world, often says, if you love me, you will affirm everything about me. What? If you love me, you will affirm everything about me. Jesus shows us something better, and I mean it. I believe it is better. Real love tells the truth because eternity matters, not because it makes you feel good. Because there's eternity at stake. Truth without love is brutality. Not here for that. Love without truth is hypocrisy. Not here for that either. But Jesus embodied both perfectly. The balance, the dance of love and truth, grace and truth. Sacrificial love speaks truth, even when it hurts. Number four, lastly, sacrificial love pursues unity. I know, this is like week four of where we're looking at this prayer, where something points back to unity. But I believe it's important because Jesus mentions it so much in this text. This entire section flows out of Jesus praying for believers to be one, for us to be one. That sacrificial love, the glory of God, our identity, all of these things flow from a place of unity. Right? And so let me just say it again. Church unity is not maintained by pretending that differences don't exist. Right? It's not maintained by pretending that differences don't exist. Think back to the merger if you were here for that 8 years ago. It's maintained by dying to selfishness. I remember Russ Willette sitting around in 2017 and just walking through the merger with us and just saying, hey, this doesn't work unless we walk in humility. Unless we seek to outdo one another in showing honor, right? It's not gonna work, right? And so it's unity, right? The glory of God, all of these things hang in the balance of dying to selfishness. If you think about it, if you do any research, maybe it's just me, pride fractures churches. Preferences fracture churches. Consumer Christianity fractures churches. All of those things exist and they fracture churches. You know, one of the most common things I've heard over the 20 years I've been in full-time ministry is, hey, we've just got to leave the church because you don't have this thing that I need. And my question is always this, if I get the opportunity to ask it, well, why don't you start that? Maybe that's God stirring in you to start that here. Like maybe that's God stirring in you to do something about that. Because I'd always be like, well, what's the thing that we don't have? And they'd be like this. And I'm like, I'd love to have that. That'd be awesome. I can't do it. I can't, like, there's nothing else I can add to my plate. I'm in meetings on Saturdays having to text for gift cards. Like, there's nothing else I can do, right? And so read the scriptures, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, all about leadership and honoring your leadership and taking ownership of the church. I was, man. I was listening to an awesome sermon this past week. I listened to it a couple times. 4 ways to kill your pastor. It was really edifying. It was good. Number 2, make your pastor feel unaided. And he's talking, he's preaching in Arlington, Texas. Man, the context was different. There's so many stories about sweet tea. And college football. If God calls people away, I'm good. But when people leave, out of selfishness. Let's just put it there. It hurts. And not just because I miss them. Because I miss them. I miss them. Even the ones I didn't think I'd miss. I miss them. But because, man, I want to be an answer to the prayer of God. And I don't want my preferences or my selfishness or your preferences or your selfishness to get in the way of that. I just don't. Because I believe we were made for more. I believe we were made for more than that. And so sacrificial love, just to bring this home, like I said I was going to do 10 minutes ago, sacrificial love asks, how can I serve? How can I serve? How can I inconvenience myself for the sake of the body? Not how can I be catered to? Not are you going to do what I want you to do. Come on, Josh. Some people admire sacrificial love from afar while refusing to surrender to Jesus. That's their theme of the year, surrender. But you cannot truly love like Jesus without belonging to Jesus. Moral inspiration is not enough. The cross is first something to receive before it becomes something to imitate. And so, as we look at that today, I want you to imagine the disciples hearing this prayer only hours before the crucifixion. Later, they're going to watch him be arrested. We'll hit this in September. He's going to be beaten. He's going to be mocked. He's going to be nailed to the cross. And finally, they're going to realize he didn't merely pray about sacrificial love. He went and showed them. The prayer of John 17 reaches its fulfillment at Calvary. And now the risen Jesus still prays that his love would be in his people. And so the question for the church is not, do we admire the love of Jesus? The question is simply this, are we embodying the love of Jesus? Because the clearest evidence that we have been with Jesus is that we begin to love like him. The clearest evidence that we have been with Jesus is that we begin to love like him. So will you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Today, as a result of that, as we think about the love of Christ, remember, while we were yet sinners, he died for us. And so if you're sitting in the room and you'd say, man, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to believe. I want to add my list. I want to add my name to the list of the ones that Jesus was praying for. I've never given my life to Jesus, but today I want to. And if that's you, and today you would say, today is the day of my salvation. I want to cross from unbelief to belief. I want to invite Jesus into my life. I want to embrace sacrificial love, a new identity, all these things that we've been talking about that Jesus prayed for over these last few weeks. If that's you, I just want you to simply lift up your hand right now. Not going to count, anything like that. If that's you and you would say, today I need a relationship with Jesus. Today's the day of my salvation. Just lift up your hand right where you're at. I'll give you about 10 seconds. Okay, I see that. Anybody else? Okay. Anybody else? I see two. You can put them down. Anybody else? Awesome. Praise God. If that's you, I'm going to pray a prayer. And I invite you to repeat that prayer. You can repeat it silently in your heart and mind. And the God that searches hearts and minds will hear you. Just say this. Say, dear God, I need you. I'm a sinner. And I invite you today to come into my life and save me, that I may live for you forever. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let's give God praise for two folks today that listen, if that was you, I want you to know that the scripture says that there's a party in heaven going on your behalf. They're celebrating. And we celebrate as well. And if you would just take your connection card, indicate that, or let somebody know that was up here on stage or that you see in leadership with a lanyard, just say, hey, today I gave my life to Jesus. We just want to give you next steps and what that looks like. I think for the rest of us, for those who are here, what a beautiful way to remember sacrificial love like communion. So if you're going to help me serve communion this morning, why don't you come on? A couple housekeeping things before I get back into sacrificial love this morning. The smaller bowls are gluten-free. The bigger bowls aren't. Once you get your elements, if you want to go ahead and prepare them by peeling the under and getting your bread out, and then you can peel back the juice we'll take the elements together once everybody's received them. At Summit, we practice an open communion, so we don't require that you be members of the church to come to the table. We're already members of the family together. That's how we see it. And so we're auditioning for heaven in the sense that we're going to worship together for eternity. You don't have to be a member here to do that. If you have kids around you, we ask that you would, mom, dad, whoever they're here with, we put that on you as to whether or not they should partake of communion. If you're an unbeliever, right, to not partake of communion just because we don't want anyone to drink judgment on themselves. And so, as they're passing it out, go ahead, guys. You can go ahead and pass. As we're talking about it. The night that Jesus did this with his disciples, just take one and pass it around. He said, this is my body broken for you. This is my blood poured out for you. And as you receive these elements, I just want you to ponder the sacrificial love of God for you in your life today. And once everybody's received it, I'll come back and we'll take it together.